Well, I wonder what you would classify as the greatest day in all history. In fact, as you look back through events that have taken place in the past, I wonder which ones stand out and which ones you can remember. The ones that you can remember, I will guess, will be those where something tragic happened, where there was a loss of life, or where something terrible took place. Let me take, for example, a few things that you might recall. Let's go back to a certain day. See if you can remember this one. You know the famous pictures which we've seen time and time again of the World Trade Center in New York. The aeroplanes hitting the Twin Towers. The date, the 11th of September 2001. And my guess is that nearly everybody in this room will remember quite clearly what they were doing when that happened. I can remember where we were. We were actually at John O'Groats, having our photograph taken by a signpost which said 11th of September 2001, Land's End 800 miles this way, New York so many miles that way. And the time that photograph was taken was about 2 o'clock our time, which was just when that was happening in America. I meant to show it to you, but unfortunately I couldn't find it. I think we threw it away because it brought back bad memories, which is true of many things, isn't it? They're bad memories of tragic events. And it's not very pleasant having to look at events such as this and then those towers came crumbling down and the terrible loss of life. These were tragedies. And yet they happened. That's the fact about it. The facts are recorded by eyewitnesses who saw those things. So we can all remember what happened then, I suppose, and what we were doing. But let's go back a bit earlier. Let's go back to this time, when there was a car crash in a tunnel in France. Now we're going back about 11 years, 31st of August, 1997. Can you remember what you were doing when you heard the news of what happened that morning when Diana, Princess of Wales, was killed in that car crash? Again, it's another important event in history, because it changed events. Somehow the world was never the same after this event, or 11th of September 2001. There was a great feeling about what had happened. But again, it's a tragic event, isn't it? You couldn't really call either of those two dates the greatest day in all history. You might call them some of the greatest tragedies in all history, but certainly not the greatest day. Let's go back a little bit earlier, and let's go to this place, Texas, United States of America, Dallas in Texas. And the date we're talking about is a long time ago, 1963, 22nd of November. Now, I don't know what you were doing when you heard the news of what took place this day, that day of 1963. Can you remember what you were doing? I wonder if you'd just like to raise your hands, if you can actually remember receiving that news of the death of President Kennedy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, yes. And I can remember quite vividly what I was doing when I heard the news. But you see, it was, again, a great tragedy. A man was shot, the President of the United States. And in this event, this is one where it's perhaps different from the others, because there was actually a film record of what took place. A man called Abraham Zapruder happened to have the latest camera that was available, movie camera in his day and age. And he was just filming the President's motorcade as it went down Dealey Plaza in Dallas, in Texas. And his film is well known. And it's a film which shows exactly what happened. You can see here the President's car setting off down the plaza, and the frame count there is counting up as time goes by in seconds, 20 seconds, 21 seconds. You can see here that the President's got shot once through his neck, I believe. And then came a fatal shot, which I'm going to stop. I'm not going to show you that because the details are so vivid and so graphic that it's not very pleasant to see. So I've stopped the film before frame 313, which shows you what happens when the bullet hit the President's head. But that's a fact of history, and again, it's a tragic event, isn't it? You couldn't call that the greatest day in all history, but it changed things. It had a dramatic effect, and there were repercussions from that day and forward. Now let's go a little bit earlier, and I'm pretty certain that, again, a few of us will remember this, 1939, going back a little bit earlier in history. 3rd of September, ring any bells? It involves this country and Germany. And the answer is, it was the day war was declared. Winston Churchill, Prime Minister of this country, declared war on Germany. The Holocaust began.
Wasn't Churchill.
Sorry, I tell a lie there. Thank you. I'm just testing. See, there's somebody. No, yeah, he was a key politician at that time, wasn't he? But anyway, the war was declared, and it certainly took place. And what was more important is that the Holocaust took place, in which 6 million Jews lost their lives. Again, it's a tragedy, isn't it? A tragic event. We remember it well because of all the terrible things that happened. If we weren't there physically at the time, we read about it in the news bulletins and we have recorded for us all these dreadful things that took place. But it's not the greatest day in all history, is it? So let's go to one last example before we come to the one I think is really important. Let's go back to 1066. Here's a date we learnt up in our school books, and I'm certain that none of us were here that day. I won't say it. 14th of October, 1066. And it involved this country again, and the people just over the channel in Normandy. Because this was the day when William the Conqueror invaded this country. The Battle of Hastings took place, at a place called Battle just near Hastings. William was the victor, Harold, King of England, was defeated. And to commemorate that fact, there was a tapestry made, a little bit later in time, but it showed exactly what happened. See, all these things that I've given you as examples from history, firstly, they're tragedies, they're important events, yes, but there were witnesses to all those events. The witnesses in this day and age, in 1066, was recorded for us in the form of this tapestry, as well as the other records which now exist of what happened in that day and age. So there were eyewitnesses, people who saw it, people who wrote what happened. Or we have news footage of more recent events. We have films of more recent events. We know that these things did really take place. So let's go a lot earlier. Let's go to the date of 9th of April in the year 30 AD. And let's go to this little country here, the land which we know today as Israel, but in the days of the Roman Empire, which was its heyday in that time, then Jerusalem was there in the land of Judea, and Judea was a province of the Roman Empire. And it was in that region that I believe the greatest event of all history took place. And there's one particular day that we can associate with that great event, which, as I said, is the 9th of April, AD 30. And you might think, well, why have I arrived at that date? Well, the date I'm talking about is actually the day of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know, really beyond any shadow of a doubt, that it was in the year 30 AD that that took place. We know from astronomical facts that Passover that year took place on Friday, the 7th of April, and the Sunday, which was the third day after then, was the 9th of April in the year AD 30. Now, early on that Sunday morning, a group of women set out towards a garden. They were going to anoint a dead body. Little did they realize that they weren't really going to anoint a dead body. They were going to see for themselves a living king. The man who was dead was alive again. Their names are given to us, and the events are recorded for us in the scriptures. Mary Magdalene, a a woman called Joanna, Mary the mother of James, another woman called Salome. There may have been others too in this little band of women, which aren't recorded for us in the gospel records. But they set out to do their best for what had for them been a great tragedy. Because like all these important dates in history, here was a date which was again associated with tragedy. They set out outside the city of Jerusalem, making their journey probably about half a mile through the gate of the city to a hill outside Jerusalem. And that near to this hill there was a garden, and in that garden there was a tomb, and that was where they were heading, because in the tomb lay the body of their Lord and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who, 2 days before on Friday the 7th of April, they had been executed. He'd been executed by crucifixion. He was their friend, he was their teacher. He'd been put to death in a dreadful, excruciating way, and their world had collapsed when that had taken place. So you could say that that day, if you want a day for the greatest tragedy in history, that is to be certainly one of the great contenders. But the third day after that, the Sunday, is the one we're talking about, when things changed forever. Because they came to that tomb expecting to find the body of Jesus, but when they got there, it was not. The events that took place were not what they expected. A guard had been placed at this tomb, a guard of Roman soldiers, and that in itself was highly unusual, because there was no point in guarding a tomb that just contained a dead body. But this guard had been put there because this man inside the tomb had hinted to the ruling authorities in Jerusalem that 3 days later it would be a different story. So a guard was placed, and that guard, in effect, turned out to be perfect witnesses. If the guard had never been placed there, then the story which went around afterwards, that the body disappeared because his disciples stole it, would have been all that more easy to believe. But because the guard had been placed there, and they knew what had happened, what had happened was really nothing that ever happens on a normal scale and never would do again, unless it were for this one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because an angel came and rolled back that stone and sat upon it with a mark of defiance. We're told in Matthew 28, the passage we read, that there'd been this great earthquake in the early hours of the morning, that this angel had rolled back the stone, and when the women arrived there was the angel. The tomb was open, and Jesus was gone. So what had happened? They set off back towards Jerusalem. But Mary, it seems, either stayed behind or came back for a second look. And the Gospel of John tells us that she actually then saw the Lord Jesus Christ. So this day, which was to be for them a day of mourning and sorrow, was suddenly turning into a day of absolute rejoicing, because their Saviour, their teacher, their friend, the one they truly believed in, was alive again. And Mary was overjoyed when she finally recognised Jesus, having mistaken him for the gardener in the first place. But she was full of joy and ran inside to the city to tell the others the news that Jesus lived. And as that other group of women that Mary had left and been part of from returned to the city, they also saw Jesus. And they returned to Jerusalem with that amazing news. So these are events which are documented for us about what happened on the 9th of April, AD 30. Just as events are documented today about the 11th of September, 2001, or 22nd November, 1963. Here's a similar thing. The facts of history are being presented. And the facts continue that two other of those close followers of Jesus, disciples called Peter and John, heard about the news of the resurrection of Jesus, and they ran to the sepulchre to see if it was true. Peter went in first, And then John came and looked inside the tomb, goes in and sees the clothes. And the clothes were lying there on that place where the body of Jesus had been. And so began this chain of events, which began with the message, go tell his disciples and Peter. And then he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. And then Jesus said to Mary, I am ascending to my Father, to your Father, to my God, and to your God. And the women told the apostles that Jesus was risen. And the apostles said, it's unbelievable. How can that possibly happen? Their words seemed to them as idle tales. Neither believed they them. But when they actually saw Jesus later that day, it was a completely different story. Because then they believed. They believed that this was the day which now was the key to the destiny of the entire human race. The lives of men, women and children for all time depended on what happened that day. And later that evening, two of the followers of Jesus were making a journey to a place called Emmaus, about a couple of miles from Jerusalem. And when Jesus joined this couple, he was at first unrecognized by them. And he started to explain the scriptures. And in the last chapter of Luke's Gospel, you have the phrase that beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And suddenly they saw how these Old Testament scriptures were vital and came alive in this teaching of Jesus. And they understood that, yes, it was the way that God wanted it, that Jesus should die and then be raised to life again. And when they got to a place called Emmaus, they broke bread together, all three of them. And as Jesus broke the bread, it's then that they recognized him. And when these two then ran back to Jerusalem because Jesus disappeared, they found that Jesus had already appeared to them. So if we document those people who were witnesses to this great event, there's these 10 disciples, because Thomas left in that upper room when they first heard the rumours of the resurrection of Jesus. Thomas didn't believe, and he left, almost in a huff really, I suppose. But he wouldn't stay, and so those who were left, when Jesus appeared in that upper room, those 10 were the ones who saw him. Thomas was, I suppose, a pessimist. He said he wouldn't believe. He'd left and missed this opportunity of a lifetime to witness with his own two eyes the risen Jesus on that resurrection day. But he was back. 8 days later, Jesus appeared again, and this time Thomas was with them. And Thomas was invited to put his hands and finger into the wounds in Jesus' hands and to feel the marks of crucifixion on Jesus. But the record tells us he had no need to even feel those wounds. He saw Jesus and he believed. So Thomas became a believer, just as all those other people who witnessed the Lord Jesus, they too became believers. Jesus of Nazareth, God raised him from the dead, we're told. And these are some of the names. Beginning early that day of his resurrection with Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, Salome, Peter, John, Cleopas, Andrew, James the son of Zebedee, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, son of James, Thomas, and then later on, Saul of Tarsus. And over 500 believers saw Jesus at one time. Jesus presented himself alive by many infallible proofs, we're told. So he was really a truly important day, because this day was not a tragedy. It was the absolute opposite of being a tragedy. It was a day of great rejoicing, because the man they thought was dead had been raised to life again by God. And that's the key to Christianity, that this is the greatest day in all history, the day of the resurrection of Jesus. And these people went on to proclaim this fact of history as eyewitnesses. He appeared to more than 500 at one time. So when Paul wrote that His letter to 1 Corinthians 15, probably 25 or 30 years later, then those witnesses, most likely many of them were still alive. They could be interviewed. They could be questioned. Did you really see Jesus? And they would respond, yes, we saw him. It was Jesus. God had raised him to life again. Now, let's just digress a moment and ask, these images of various people I'm now putting on screen, well, perhaps you might not recognise most of them. Let's just ask the question, what have they got in common? Well, let's identify them first of all. There's five images there. And their names, one of them is Mirza al-Muhammad. We're also including in the list Muhammad, but we're not showing an image of him for obvious reasons. Then there's Moses, there's Buddha, there's Confucius in those photographs. And there's Jesus Christ. Now, what do all those people have in common? And why is it so focused on this greatest day in all history? Well, these people were all founders of faiths or religions. The first one founded the Baha'i faith. Muhammad was the founder of Islam. Moses, founder of Judaism. Buddha, founder of Buddhism. Confucius, Confucianism. All the major religions which exist today. And Jesus Christ, of course, was the founder of Christianity. So that's what they have in common. They're all founders of great faiths which still exist today. Some of them are new ones. But let's now say, what's the difference between these six people? Well, Mirza al-Muhammad, he died in 1892. Muhammad, the founder of Islam, died in 632 AD. Moses died about 1400 years before the time of Jesus. Buddha died in 483 BC. Confucius died in 479 BC. All dead, except Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is still alive. Because on that greatest day in all history, God didn't just raise him to life to die again in due course. God gave him immortality. That means Jesus will never die, and never age, that he is now still alive. And that's why the foundation stone of Christianity is that Jesus lives. And that's why that resurrection day is so vitally important, because the whole of Christianity is built on the fact of the resurrection of Jesus. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then we might as well all go home and not bother being here. Christianity would have no foundation if it didn't take place. But the resurrection of Jesus did, and the witnesses in the first century attest to that fact. And those are friendly witnesses that I've identified for you on screen. There are hostile witnesses too. There are like the Jews, for example, who made up the story that the body of Jesus was stolen by the disciples. In their own way, they are witnesses of this amazing fact. So the good news is that Jesus is alive. He now lives forever. And you might say, well, what's that in relation to me? Why is that important to me? And the answer is, just because Jesus lives forever is the guarantee that God can do it again. If God's done it with Jesus, then nothing's impossible with him. And he can give us eternal life if we do what Jesus wants, if we follow in Jesus' ways. So Jesus lives forever, so could you, and so could me. So that day, the 9th of April, AD 30, which is 99% certain to be the day of Jesus' resurrection, is the greatest day in all history, because your future depends on it, and mine depends on it, and the future of the whole human race is focused on that day. And it's not a day of tragedy, it's a day of great rejoicing. So let's just come back to these eyewitnesses, just refresh our memories, these eyewitnesses who saw these things, just as the eyewitnesses of the cameras and the video footage saw the World Trade Center's collapse in 2001 and all those other events. These people saw Jesus risen from the dead. Matthew, John, Mark, Peter, Paul, They all saw him, believed in him. So too did the apostles, the whole of them, the women who were close to him, many others, 500 at once on one occasion. We read of all these in 1 Corinthians 15. All these were eyewitnesses. They saw him and they believed. So we say, is it really true? Do we believe their testimony? Now, let's go back to those facts I showed you at the start. Diana, Princess of Wales, died in that car crash, in that tunnel in Paris. But some say it was a plot. Some say she was murdered there in that car crash. It wasn't really an accident. So there are diversities of opinions, differences of opinions. And what about the Twin Towers? Do you know if you go on the internet and search for the World Trade Towers and the Twin Towers and September 11th, 2001, you'll see sites which say it was all a government plot. There never were actually any planes. They never hit the towers, but there were bombs inside the towers set there by government officials, all to discredit the Al-Qaeda people and so forth. And you'll see sites where people firmly believe that. Obviously, there's so much evidence to the contrary, we just can't say that that's true. But what about the assassination of JF Kennedy? A lone assassin's bullet, as clearly the film shows. Or was it a conspiracy, as others say? Again, there's difference of opinion. The facts are there, but the interpretation, there are different ways of looking at it. And what about the Second World War? You know, there are people today who say, the Holocaust never happened. The Jews never perished in the concentration camps of Germany. It's all a political plot by the Jews of today. The evidence says vastly different. They say it really did happen, but there are those who believe it didn't. And the question I put to you is this. Those people who say that what we've seen with our own two eyes in terms of film and historical records, beyond any doubt whatsoever, those people who say that those events didn't really happen or happened in a different way, I wonder if they're so convinced that they will give their lives for that belief. Somehow, I don't think so. Now, come back to those people who witnessed the resurrection of Jesus. These people who witnessed his resurrection, many of them ended up giving their lives. Peter was crucified, as far as we can tell from the facts of history. Andrew was crucified. James was executed, with that in Acts 12. John was exiled to Patmos, a devil's island. Philip was martyred. Bartholomew was flayed to death. Thomas was martyred. Matthew was martyred. And the list goes on. James, the son of Alphaeus, was stoned and beaten to death. Judas, son of James, died a martyr in Persia. Simon Zelotes was crucified. Paul writes a commentary of all the things he suffered in 2 Corinthians 11, being stoned, beaten, flogged, shipwrecked, all sorts of things that happened to him, all because he believed in the resurrection of Jesus, and Paul finally was executed, and Stephen was stoned to death. That's just a sample of those who witnessed Jesus and what happened to them. Now, all these people could not have been mistaken, but must surely have been truly, truly convinced in the resurrection of Jesus. You might get one person fool enough to give his own life for something he knows to be a lie, but you wouldn't get all that number of people there giving their lives in such dreadful, painful ways for something they knew to be a lie or untrue. The facts of history are those that these people died in that way. Therefore, we must believe their testimony. And their testimony is that Jesus rose from the dead. That's the greatest fact and the best attested fact of all history. So the good news is, Jesus lived forever. The greatest day in all history proves that, as do the witnesses. So could you, if you follow in his ways. Well, thank you very much for listening so intently.